If I ever took a loss, I learned a lesson. I won't ever think I'm better than the next man. I've been down before to come up.
Hi everyone, this is Brad Bristow and I'm the lead campus pastor here at Cornerstone Church in Airdrie, and I want to thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We believe that the God who spoke so clearly in the pages of Scripture continues to speak to His kids today. So as you listen, I pray that you would be inspired, encouraged, challenged, and your faith would be built. Enjoy the message. As family, we go.
This week, we're going to tackle the story of Abraham, the story of Abram, and his journey with the Lord a little bit different. Usually, the last several weeks that we've done this, we've taken one passage of Scripture, one sort of chunk of Scripture, usually about a chapter, and we've walked through it and seen how that story applies to our lives and looked at what it has to say to us. But today, we're going to be looking at nine chapters. Verse by verse. So settle in, all right? This is going to be a long one. No, what we're going to do today is we're going to walk through from Genesis chapter 12 through Genesis chapter 21, and we're going to stop along the way because I want to look at Abram's relationship with God through the lens of the promises that he makes to him about his son. And we've looked at Abram's journey, his journey from land of Ur to the land of Canaan. We looked at him heading down to Egypt. We've looked at him fighting battles on behalf of Lot. We've looked at him and this incredible demonstration of worship and thanksgiving that we talked about last week. But it's important to remember that this whole story of Abram and everything, it began with a promise. It began with God saying to him, I'm going to do something in your life. And after he made this promise, then all of this other stuff flows out of it. So today, what I want to do is look at the journey of that promise. Way back at the beginning of all of this, in Genesis chapter 12, when God picks Abram, God makes Abram this promise. He says, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all people on earth will be blessed through you. And this is where the story begins. Out of this, the entire incredible saga of Abraham's journey with God, it all is birthed inside of this promise. And then the next chapter over in Genesis chapter 13, God gives a little more depth to his promise, a little more clarity, a little more of a bigger picture of what it means, what this promise means. When he says, look around from where you are, this is after Abram's return from Egypt, and he says, look around where you are to the north and the south, to the east and to the west. All of the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. This land that you're in, as far as you can see, is going to be yours. And it's going to be your families. It's going to be your kids. It's going to be your offsprings, your kids, 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 kids. This land is going to be theirs forever. And your family is going to be so big that it's going to equal the number of dust on earth. However big that is. And it's this incredible promise of what God is going to do. This incredible picture of what God is going to do in Abraham's life. But something that's very important to remember is that when Abram and his wife Sarai started this journey, does anybody remember how old they were? 75 and 65 years old. How many kids did they have? None. So when God says your descendants are going to be like dust, they've got no kids. And they're 75 years old. He's not saying this to a couple of kids. They're 75 years old. Time is seemingly running out on God to fulfill his promise. That God has said, I'm going to do this for you. Okay, that's great, God. You better get on it. This is not going to get any easier. Probably at times during this journey, for Abraham and for Sarai, the promise must have seemed more and more metaphorical. That is, they talked about, well, God has promised us descendants. Maybe he means like spiritual kids. You know, Lot will have some babies, and we'll raise them up like they're our own, and we'll care for them, and we'll love them. And he doesn't obviously mean actual kids. I'm 75, you're 65. Our grandkids will be like our kids. Our grandnephews, I guess, will be like our kids. But in Genesis chapter 15, after everything we talked about last week, God comes to Abram again to reaffirm his commitment to Abram. And he says to this, after Abram had rescued Lot in the battle with the five kings and everything, and he had worshipped God and given 10% of his stuff to the high priest and all of those things, then it says, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abraham's response to this word from the Lord isn't perhaps as faith-filled as we would like to think that Abraham would have had. What we can think of when we think of these like seemingly almost mythical people inside the Bible, that we think that their responses should always be perfect and right, because after all, it's Abraham, the father of our faith. Everybody knows who Abraham is. It must be right. But he comes to God now a little confused and a little perplexed, perhaps even a little bit frustrated, because God keeps making this promise. God keeps saying, Abraham, I'm here for you. I have plans and purposes for you. But he keeps hearing about these promises that God is making to him. But the one thing that has yet to happen in his life is the one thing that has to happen for all of these promises to begin to take hold. God has promised him a family. God has promised him offspring and descendants for this great nation that's supposed to come from him and bless the whole world. But he actually needs descendants. He actually needs children for this to happen. And so as God comes to affirm himself to Abraham, to Abram, Abram comes to God with a question. Verse 2 says, But Abram said to God, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who's going to inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no children. So a servant in my household will have to be my heir. God, I don't know if you've noticed or not, but there's one major part of the puzzle that you have yet to do. There's one part of your plan that's missing here. Maybe you didn't realize it. Maybe you thought you had already done it. I know sometimes I can fall into that when Yvonne will give me a list of things to do, and at some point I've just assumed I've done them. And she'll say, This hasn't been done yet. And I'll, Oh, really? Would have thought I would have done that by now. Who knows? God, there's a small problem right now. I don't have any kids. So all the things that you are promising me, it's so wonderful to hear them. It's so wonderful to know them. But they're not exactly possible, you know? It's not exactly possible without kids. Sometimes, most of the time,
perhaps all of the time, believing in God means trusting in the incomplete. Sometimes believing the promises of God, believing the Word of God for our lives, means believing in an incomplete picture, at least from our perspective. It would be so nice if following God meant that when God gave you a picture, that He just gave you the whole picture. It would be nice if when God said He was going to do something, it all happened in just a way that makes perfect sense to you and to me. That God would come and say, here's what I'm going to do, here's how I'm going to do it, and here's when I'm going to do it. There. And then we could just sit back and say, oh, right, this is a faith I can get behind. I just need to sit back and wait for June 22nd, because at that day, everything's going to fall right into line. Isn't it going to be perfect? But of course, that would also not require this thing called faith that God seems to think is pretty important. He will say that faith without works is dead. That faith is crucial and important to who we are. And as we are going to see in a moment, even when God tells us exactly what He's going to do, it can still be pretty hard for us to accept. But when we're looking to follow God, as we're looking to see God work in our lives, sometimes it means believing and trusting in what we perceive as the incomplete. God made a promise to Abram, I'm going to give you children. But He didn't tell him everything. He didn't say when. And Abram's lack of knowledge, the incomplete part of the picture that God had given him, you can see it beginning to eat away at him a little bit. That God keeps coming to him and saying, I've got this promise for you. And at the beginning, Abram set off on a 1,600 kilometer walk through the desert because of the promise of God. And now here, just a few chapters later, God comes and reaffirms Himself to Abram, and the weight of not knowing, he's no longer charging out there on a journey. He's saying, God, this doesn't make any sense. God, you're missing something. But God hears his concern, and God takes his promise one step further, and you can read through the rest of Genesis chapter 15 about how God makes a real and true, by the definition of the word, covenant with Abram. He makes these promises to him, and he tells him, you're not going to need to leave your estate to your servant. I am going to not just give you a child, I'm going to give you a son, and it's going to happen. And then God seals it with Abram in a dream. And he gives him a real, honest-to-goodness definition of the word covenant with Abram. That this is going to happen. But then we come to Genesis chapter 16. The next step in Abram's journey and his understanding of the fulfillment of this, the weight of the promise that hasn't happened yet begins to manifest itself in some pretty uninspiring, terrible ways. Genesis chapter 16 begins like this. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. Doesn't matter that God promised that she's going to. She hasn't yet. And the weight of the not yet is too much. The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her. And Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan for 10 years, so 10 years after God told him, you need to go to the promised land where I'm going to build you into this great nation, 10 years of nothing, and they're beginning to crack under the pressure of that nothing. So after Abram had been living in Canaan for 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. Verse 4, he slept with Hagar and she conceived. There's this promise that God has given Abram and Sarai. And he's reaffirmed it multiple times over the last 10 years. But nothing is happening. Nothing is happening. And so they begin to try and figure out a way around God to make what God wanted to have happen. That if God's not going to give me kids, I know how to do it. And so we can make this happen another way. But of course, and you don't need me to tell you this, you know this, this is not what God wanted. God doesn't sit up in heaven and go, never thought of that. Way to go, God. This is what we need. More problem solvers like you. God does not look and go, I never thought of that. This was not his plan. And immediately, Sarai and Abram discover that there's no joy in trying to circumvent the Lord. There's no joy in this birth. And you read in Genesis chapter 16 about how Sarai immediately resents the child and resents the child's mother. And it's not this joyous, loving moment. It's a moment full of hate and anger and fear. When we try and manufacture God, we don't get God's will. What we get is this broken, awful, messed up thing that may approximate what God has said. Abraham did now have a son, and he did now have an heir, but it was everything that God didn't want. That they tried to make this thing happen, and on the surface, it's like, God promised me an heir, look that I've got one, but it's everything that wasn't what God wanted. But even in this moment, God doesn't abandon Abram. God has made a covenant with Abram. And even in this moment, with this being on his head, God will not abandon Abram. Genesis chapter 17 takes place 13 years after this. So we're now at 23, 24 years of time having passed. Abram is now 99 years old, and God again comes to Abram to reaffirm himself. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty, walk before me faithfully and blameless. Then I will make my covenant between you, me and you, and you will greatly increase in your numbers. After Egypt, after Hagar and their child, after all of these things, God comes back to Abram again. And he reaffirms his commitment to Abram again. I have made a covenant with you, and I am going to give you offspring. I am going to increase your numbers. I am your God, he tells Abram. And this is where God changes Abram's name to Abraham. Sometimes we think that that happened really quickly in the story. It's taken a long time for Abram to become Abraham. And God again fills Abraham in about God's plan for his life. At 99 years old, God comes to Abram and he tells him, at 99 years old, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham. For I have made you father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations out of you and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you reside as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting promise to you and your descendants after you. I will be their God. And then if you jump down to verse 15, just so there's no confusion about what's going to take place here. We've seen what happened in the past. God doesn't just speak to Abram, to Abraham. He goes and has some instructions about how this is supposed to happen. He says, God also said to Abraham, as for your wife Sarai, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah, and I will bless you, and surely I will give you a son by her, making it very clear exactly how this is supposed to go down. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her. Descendants and generations are going to come from you. Kings and rulers are going to come from you. Now, how old was Abraham? 99 years old. And he has a reaction that perhaps some of you may have if the Lord willing, you're 99 years old and God comes to you and says you're going to have a baby. Abraham fell face down and he laughed. He laughed. God is coming and affirming himself to him, and the response that Abraham has is he begins to laugh. Oh God, not this again. God, I don't know who you think I am. I don't know how old you think I was when you called me, but God, come on. Are you serious? And he says, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah become or bear a child at the age of 90? An understandable question. A relatable response. That if God comes to you in however many years it is before you're 99 and says to you, got a plan for your life. I've got something for you, and it's a doozy. You ready to have a baby? He laughs. His response to God is laugh. This pillar of faith, this man who is lauded in Scripture and in Christendom for his faith and his trust in God, is now reduced to laughing at the promises of God. It's been so long. So much time has passed. This picture has been incomplete for so long, and it's not getting more complete. The amount of time that's passed seems like this promise has just moved into the absurd. That, like, God, I don't know what it is that you're talking about, but it's like a joke now. Next chapter, Genesis chapter 18. The Lord appeared to Abram near the great tree of Mamre, while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abram looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under the tree. Let me get you something to eat so that you may be refreshed and then go your way now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered. "Do as you say." So Abram hurried into the tent of Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get three seahs of the finest flour and knead it and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice, tender calf, and he gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. Talk about farm to table. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared, and he set those before him, and while they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked. "There in the tent," Abraham said. One of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, she will have a son." Scripture says that God showed up to Abram in the form of, or to Abraham in the form of these three men to speak to them. And Abraham looks and takes good care of them. And they again make this promise to Abraham and to Sarah. You're going to have a baby, guys. In 1 year, I'll come back and you're going to have a baby. The same covenant, the same promise. At this point, it will have been 25 years since the first promise to Abram. The baby will have taken 25 years to get there. Everything has changed. Even his name has changed. 25 years is a long time. Think about your life 25 years ago. Some of you can't. You weren't alive 25 years ago. Now, some of you may struggle for other reasons, but it's not. 25 years ago, Jurassic Park was the biggest movie in the world. Unforgiven won Best Picture that year. Jean Chrétien was elected the Prime Minister of Canada. Bill Clinton was sworn in as the President of the United States. The Intel Pentium chip, the fifth generation of the 86 series, revolutionized the home computer. The World Trade Center bombing took place. The biggest song of the year was I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston. I will not sing it for you. The Blue Jays won the World Series. The Montreal Canadiens won the Stanley Cup. And this fresh-faced youngster started attending Airdrie Four Square Church. I was 12 years old, 25 years ago. But don't worry, I will not just embarrass myself. There's Pastor Matt, 25 years ago as well. 25 years ago is a long time. I'm going to invite the worship team to come and join me on the stage. But it was 25 years ago that God made this promise to Abraham. 25 years later, and now here we are, the same promise, the same covenant was still being made, but it's getting harder and harder and harder to take God seriously. The promise is getting harder to take. It's becoming funny. Now, you're going to have a baby. Sure we are, God. Sure we are. 25 years ago, you said we were. Sure we are, God. Whatever you say. Abraham is going to be 100 years old. Sarah's going to be 90 years old. It seemed laughable. That's what Abraham did. That's what Sarah does. Now, Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old. Makes no bones about it. And Sarah was past the age of childbearing. It is impossible. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, after I'm worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure? We've walked through this cycle of God affirming himself to Abraham and Abraham and Sarah's deteriorating responses. At the beginning, they were willing to pack up and move to the other side of the known world. And then they were questions. Then they tried to do it themselves. And now the word of the Lord just seems funny. It just seems impossible. God's original promise prompted Abraham and Sarah to enter into a brand new life. But 25 years later, that same promise is still being made. It's not faith-inspiring. It's laughter-inducing. We will often talk about, or we'll say the mantra to each other, you just got to have faith. You just need to have faith. But 25 years of faith just seem to become too much for Abraham and Sarah. But I want to close today with three verses from Genesis chapter 21. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said. And the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age. at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. We serve an incredible God. We serve an incredible, faithful, generous, merciful God.
There is a mountain in the...
Thank you so much for listening today. We pray that you were challenged and encouraged from our message today. If you would like to speak to a member of our pastoral team at Cornerstone Airdrie, you can go to our website, cornerstonefoursquarechurch.com, click on the Airdrie tab, and then on the About section, click on Our Staff, and we'd love to hear from you. Make sure to connect with us on social media, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/cornerstoneairdrie, and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram, at CS Airdrie on Twitter, and at Cornerstone Airdrie on Instagram. If you enjoyed the podcast today, be sure to subscribe and get new content delivered right to your device through iTunes. And if you're able to, we would really appreciate it if you could rate and review us on iTunes. I know that sounds like an odd request, but the more that people do that, the easier iTunes makes it for others to find us. At Cornerstone Airdrie, we are a family not by blood, but a family that's been bought by blood. As family we go.
Here on this mountain I have climbed, wrestling doubts that flood my mind. When ashes and dust are all that remain, we'll hope for the world still come from my veins. On this altar, this road, you have called me from my home. The weight I carry is not my own. Spirit, move this heart of stone. And how can I walk in my new name? Father, and I